Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kieran Light. This is Still Talking. That's The Blonde by TV Girl, and that is exactly how I feel following last night's game between my Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. Joining me today is a man who's been waiting to come on this show for a great... He's been waiting for the perfect time, and I can tell that this is that because he's got this ear-to-ear grin on his face. This is one of my studio managers, Jared Mikidiak. How are we doing, Jared?
I mean, I'm probably doing a little better than you are.
Oh, you're probably doing a lot better than
Yeah.
You are, I just know you're enjoying the hell out of this.
You know, I think, I don't know, I get asked a lot, right? I'm a sports fan, and I've got a favorite team in pretty much every sport. But the NFL. Mm-hmm. And my answer to the question is always, well, you know what, I'm kind of an NFL like team atheist. I just go where my fantasy players are.
Yeah.
But you know who I think my favorite NFL team might be?
So if you say Baltimore Ravens.
Is the Baltimore Ravens.
Of course it is.
Is the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't know if I believe you. I think you're just saying that.
No,
to get under
I
skin.
Actually the more that I think about it, I like Baltimore.
Okay.
I like the way that they play. I like John Harbaugh more than I like Jim. I like Lamar.
Yeah.
I like Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
They're definitely a very likable team. And like...
Unless you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Even as a Bengals fan, I've always... you know what? A little bit of history.
Okay.
Growing up, I was all CFL.
Yeah.
And as an offensive lineman, I always felt like I never got any of the attention despite the fact that we did all the hard work.
Aww.
And then The Blind Side comes out.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, look at all this attention, Hollywood going to the offensive lineman. And so then I became a Ravens fan, but I still didn't follow the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I then completely forgot about the NFL.
Okay.
Forgot that I was a Ravens fan for like a season because I didn't buy anything.
Okay.
I was solely invested in the CFL. And then when I came around to actually being an NFL fan, I picked the Bengals.
So and why did you pick the Bengals?
AJ Green.
Do you like heartache? Do you like disappointment?
Oh my God, I've sure as hell gotten used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. But no, I have a bit of a soft spot for the Ravens, and like even as divisional rivals, I can't help but like them a lot. I mean, I've been a Lamar defender throughout all of these narratives he's had against him. The only thing that annoys me about the Ravens is that, and I don't know if it's just because they make it look easy, but I swear to God they have an easier time than the other teams in the AFC North.
Okay, so we've been talking about this sort of off and on this season. And, you know, I keep saying, yeah, no, Ravens, and you're like, oh, Bengals going to turn the corner.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like, well, we could have had this game, and if this had happened this way, and if, you know, we could be 6-2, but we're 2-6, and yada, yada, yada. So, last night, I would say, well, yes, that was the season, but what you saw last night, I think, encapsulates why the Bengals are not good, right?
Well, like, I think as a franchise, that game was the encapsulation of everything the Bengals franchise has ever done. This was more than just one game. It was more than just one season.
Sure.
That was just like, in a nutshell, everything the Bengals as an organization have done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so last week, so Tuesday was the trade deadline, right?
Yes.
Last week, I'm scrolling on Instagram and I'm seeing a bunch of reports because, you know, I follow all the different Bengals accounts and all the different NFL accounts. I'm seeing all these accounts post reports of Bengals are looking to make their third ever in-season trade in franchise history, which, mind you, is over 50 years. And then attached to that, it says Bengals are looking to add defensive help, namely D-line or corner.
Right.
Exactly what we need. I'm like, okay, finally we're going to do something good management-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach Moss gets his injury. Okay, that's unfortunate. I see some reports. Bengals may also look for a running back. Okay, I kind of get it, but we don't really need to prioritize that. The deadline comes up, and here's all these players. Bengals are in talks for Aziz Ojulari. Marshawn Lattimore is most likely getting traded.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these other guys. And what do we come away with? A second-string running back?
Khalil Herbert.
Exactly.
Which I didn't even realize he got traded to Cincinnati until
yesterday
when you picked him up in our fantasy league.
Exactly.
Because like, you just wanted to waste your money.
It's so emblematic of everything the Bengals are. We waste our stars. I could go on. I could name so many. Carson Palmer, Willie Anderson, Andrew Whitworth, A.J. Green, to an extent, Andy Dalton, Geno Atkins. So many different superstars we've had. Corey Dillon.
And the thing is, you know what? I do feel your pain. I'm a fan of another Ohio sports team, the Cleveland Guardians. Yeah. I've been a lifelong fan, and so I know the disappointment. I know being there, being sort of on the cusp, right? Like your team was in the Super Bowl finals, what, 2 years ago?
3 years ago.
Three years ago.
The following year almost went back.
Yeah.
And then last year, it was like, okay, it was a wash. Everybody was hurt.
Sure.
So, like, there were expectations this year.
Sure.
There were narratives to shed this year.
Sure.
And they just didn't.
No.
Because they refused to address the obvious
issues. I think the window on this team not only closed, but, like, it got slammed shut and your fingers got caught in the window.
Oh, absolutely. I know. I with this season, like, I came into the season so hopeful. Mm-hmm. And maybe I was blinded by loyalty, but
yes.
I picked them to win this division.
I think you were.
Okay, hold on. Look, I can admit that, but I think other people have to admit that it wasn't completely irrational. Like, I have good reason to think that they would be a good team this year. I thought they would get 12 wins. They're not going to do that.
No.
But, like, every week this season, no matter how low my expectations are, they somehow get lower. Like, they're like, I don't know, the limbo champs of the world. They just go lower and lower each week.
Right.
And I'm just left in shock. I texted people after the game last night and said, that was the most brutal game of my life. And then I had to add on to that, I know I've said that 3 or 4 times in the last 2 months.
Well, so I guess, like, I appreciate that you want to support your team. And that you can't temper your expectations, but I think that as long as Lamar is a Baltimore Raven, Lamar Jackson, you're not winning the division.
Well, they can win the division. They have. It's just that he has the power. Like, it's his to lose.
And I think that right now, he showed last night. Like, he played a perfect fourth quarter of football.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And he showed last night, like, if there is anybody questioning whether or not he is the MVP, he is the MVP.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Jaden Daniels is great, but he's not.
I know people talk Jaden Daniels. I know people talk Jared Goff. But Daniels, maybe in a couple years, can do what Lamar does. I think Goff is a total, he's a system guy.
I'm just happy he's in the conversation, because in preseason I was like, hey, Goff sleeper MVP pick.
I did
predict that he'd be in the conversation, so that makes me a little bit
happy.
And
it's cool. It's a good story, but so, I don't know.
And you know what? Just the thing that aggravates me so much is like, oh my God, the refs on that last play, on that 2-point conversion. By the way, as critical as I am of Zach Taylor, and he does deserve to be fired, I don't think that that was the wrong call, because the Ravens' defense was so bad and the Ravens' offense was so good. I did not want to risk a coin toss, and they still had like 50 seconds. They could have easily gotten it. So obviously that was the right call, and our offense was clearly cooking. And then those two missed calls, absolutely gut-wrenching. Like, I feel like we should have won that game, but we also shouldn't have won that game. Like, it does not excuse all the issues, because you cannot have a game with your... Like, I think it's pretty obvious to say Burrow and Chase is the best QB wide receiver duo.
I would say that
they were so good.
Well, I mean, like Jamar Chase, you wasted perhaps the best wide receiver game of the season.
Well, oh, obviously, yeah. And Jamar Chase, I mean, like, that was almost his best career game. I went and looked at the stats. That game against the Chiefs his rookie year is still his best, only by 2 yards. It was actually crazy. He was 2 yards short of an identical stat line. But there were some crazy stats from last night. Jamar Chase is the first player in NFL history with multiple 250-yard, 2-plus receiving touchdown games. Jerry Rice and Jamar Chase are the only players with a 225-yard and 2 touchdown multiple games like that. Last night, Jamar Chase set an NFL record for the most receiving yards against one team in a single season because... he's had 457 yards and 5 touchdowns against the Ravens this year. Burrow last night goes 34-56, 348 yards, 4 touchdowns, 108.3 rating against the Ravens. The first time he had like almost 400 yards again. He had 5 touchdowns. He had 1 pick, but like, this is how good those two players are playing. And even the run game is getting going. a little bit. Chase Brown's playing well. Our tight ends are getting involved. And we didn't have T. Higgins or Orlando Brown, which, by the way, they should have played. Both of them should have played. Like, that was the season. They knew that going into it, and you don't play them. I don't understand. But,
well,
like,
what is,
but even despite all of that, sorry, the defense so bad, and they lose both of those games in such gut-wrenching fashion. You put yourselves in positions to lose like that. And that's because you let guys like Chidobe Awuzie go, because you let guys like DJ Reader and Jesse Bates leave, because you're not willing to spend the money. Ja'Marr Chase still hasn't gotten his extension. I think he's proven that he's damn well earned whatever. Give him a blank check. I was very critical of Ja'Marr. I was saying, like, oh, he's being a baby. But I honestly, no, he deserves it. He deserves his money.
He deserves it. But if you're Ja'Marr Chase, do you want to stick around?
I wouldn't blame him if he said no. I hope to God he says yes, because I can't leave. You know, as a fan, I cannot leave. That would just be like, that'd go against every fiber of my being just to stop being loyal.
No, no.
Not that they deserve my love, but, like, I have to stay with this team. I hope to God Ja'Marr Chase signs.
You do. You do. And I mean, I hope that the rest of the season goes well for you. And I hope that you find a little bit of a silver lining on this gray cloud of a year. I know that silver lining is not going to come through your fantasy football either, because, well, you know, I've seen
how
you're performing
in our
there
league,
too.
Actually, in my other league, I'm 8-1, and I had Burrow chasing Gesicki last night.
So, ironically, in that fantasy league, like, I think that somehow my team is going to end up wasting the performance from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Because my receiving core is super banged up. Although I did see that the Texans did activate Nico Collins.
Yeah.
Which is good, because if he doesn't play, I have no wide receivers.
Well, my team is like, I look at my team on paper and, like, yeah, I'm not doing super hot. Although, I like, last three games, I'm, what, 2-1? But, like, all season, I'm looking at my team, they're not playing well, but it's like, on paper, okay, Jalen Hurts is a good fantasy quarterback. A.J. Brown, T. Higgins is a good duo. Derrick Henry's having this awesome season. I got solid running backs like Swift and Brian Robinson. And I'm like, how am I, what am I, like, 3-7 or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, how? Like, it's just because, oh, A.J. Brown misses three games, or Jalen Hurt goes out, or T. Higgins has missed, like, 4 or 5 games already. Like, it's just, it's insane to me. I mean, yeah, and going back to this trade thing, just with the Bengals, just always just sitting on their asses doing nothing. Mike Brown, I would be shocked if he knew how to open his iPhone 4. Look, the rest of the division, disregard Cleveland, because Cleveland is Cleveland.
Cleveland's
like the rest
entire
of the AFC
fire.
North and all the other contending teams in the NFL made necessary moves at the deadline. The Steelers, they traded for Preston Smith, a defensive end, what we needed. They got him for a 7th rounder from the Packers, who are a good team. The Packers are trying to contend. They got rid of one of their best players on defense. And so the Steelers add to their already stacked defense after already adding to their already stacked defense in the offseason when they got Patrick Queen from a division rival. And then, also on offense, they added Mike Williams. So that's, like, at the very least, it's not going to hurt them. And then the Ravens, they trade for Tre'Davious White. And the Commanders, who are now becoming this great team, they trade for Lattimore. They got the superstar corner when you didn't. The Lions add Za'Darius Smith, and the 49ers get Khalil Davis, a D-tackle, from the Texans. So most of those guys are defensive guys. Most of the trades at the deadline were defensive. They were exactly the needs that we needed, and we got Khalil Herbert. You want to know who I didn't see make an impact on the field? Khalil Herbert. He didn't do anything last night because he barely got any snaps.
Bangle's going to bangle, my friend.
Oh, they're going to bungle. They're always going to do it.
They're going to do it. I'm going to leave you here alone.
Here, let me stew.
Let you stew in your misery. Thank you for inviting me on.
No, I think it's
going. I'll figure out another time to pop in and dunk
probably
on
next
dunk
week
on
when
you.
The Bengals just, you know, lose 50-0 or something. Or no, sorry, no, it'll be 100-99. That's how it's going to go.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jared, for coming on. I really appreciate it. So, moving on, last Sunday, we had a lot of great games. I just want to talk about Saquon Barkley. That hurdle against the Jaguars, probably one of the best highlights I've ever seen in my life. The gall, the confidence, and the assurance to juke out one guy, do a spin move on another, then you realize you're facing the wrong side of the field, and the back end of that defense has already had time to collapse in on you. And he just thinks to just jump up backwards. Watch the play. Like, if you watch the slow motion, you'll see. He starts to load up for his jump before the tackler or the attempted tackler even starts loading up to tackle him. He doesn't know if that guy's going low or if he's going high. That guy's also like 6'2", maybe 6'3", and he cleared him. Landed on his feet, got a couple like extra 2 yards after landing on the ground. Had to get tackled by 3 guys. Saquon Barkley is, to me, kind of transforming the Eagles. I mean, I expected him to be just a really important piece for their offense. I expected their offense to ascend this season because, you know, they're playing A.J. Brown in the slot, which is, I know he's a big, you know, he has the X receiver body type, and that is what he's played in the NFL. But I think slot is where he's more comfortable because that's where he was in college. It's where he was his early years in Tennessee with the Titans. And then Devontae Smith is a weapon. Dallas Goedert is solid. They still have this amazing run game. I don't know if you guys can hear whatever that sound is. I have no idea. There's a weird buzzing sound that just started going on. No idea what that is. Sorry. But like, the Eagles are just this fantastic offense. I was really critical of their defense. I don't know if you guys can hear this sound. But there's like it sounds like a drill, a really weird sounding drill. I don't know if you can hear that. I apologize. But again, the Eagles, Saquon has really ascended this offense. I was really critical of the defense. They're still not great, but they're playing a lot better than I thought they would, and they're getting incrementally better week by week. And so I think, like I said going into the season, that the Eagles have to regain my trust because the way that last season ended with that just utter collapse and Sirianni just kind of unfolding as a coach, they needed to earn my trust back, and they're doing that. Week by week, they're doing that. I mean, they were playing the lowly Jaguars, and they let them get back into it. But they did realize the thing, like, even despite the fact that the Jags got back into it and the Jags suck, they understood, okay, they assessed their issue quickly. They said, okay, we're screwing up. We're letting this bad team give us a run for our money. We're supposed to be a really good team. We're supposed to be contending in the NFC. So let's make the proper adjustments and let's beat them. They have a killer instinct. I still think Sirianni should go because I think he's just a toxic coach. You know, I think he's erratic. I think he's, erratic, a bit arrogant, in over his head. Like, I think they're winning games despite him. That was proven by, we know, how he took him to the Super Bowl his first year, then both his coordinators leave last year, and they have this collapse. So I think if the Eagles have a different coaching staff, much like if the Bengals have a different coaching staff, they're a much better team. But Saquon is probably the best running back in the league. I mean, McCaffrey's been hurt, and you know what they say, availability is the best ability. So, at the very least, arguably the best, if not second. Just to finish up here, because the Bengals make me so sad, I do want to take a bit of a victory lap on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Last week when I had... Oh, no, I didn't have Sal on last week. No. Last week, I talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers and how good they were. And I'm not going to, you know, bring up all the same stats I talked about last week, but last week they were 5-0, and I you know, showed them all these stats and how and talked about how good they've been, and they've continued just to be a, like, enveloping, suffocating, and just overwhelming force on both sides of the ball, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland especially, both still cooking, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley somehow still work. Like, just, I talked about it last week, that weird double-double offense, and I didn't think, or just really just roster construction, not just offense, but that weird double-double kind of thing they had going on. But they got it to work. Kenny Atkinson's great, and since I talked to you guys last week, they've gone on a 4-game win streak in addition to their 5-game win streak. They're 9-0. They're the only undefeated team in the NBA. They're number one in the league. They're the number one team record-wise currently in the NBA in a season where there are, I think, 5 or 6 teams, not counting them, that have 7 wins and then 2 or less losses. That's incredible. I mean, like, teams like the Thunder, who had all these crazy high expectations and are living up to them, they're better than them. The Celtics, the defending champs, who are seen as the best team in the league, they're better than them right now. Nuggets, who are struggling, they're not one of those 7-2 teams. Timberwolves, better than them. Lakers, better than them. Just name any team, they're better. And I don't think that this is going to be like other seasons where, you know, they let up a bit or something happens and they just kind of like don't. I feel like the Cavs of recent years in this like short-lived Donovan Mitchell era, they would be playing really well. And then, you know, they'd go on like a skid. Like maybe for a week, they'd just lose four games. Right? And or maybe over like 2 weeks, they would go whatever. Like they'd win two games, lose four or five. Right? And that would rattle them. They'd be like a boxer who is really good in the first two rounds. And then his opponent just gets a really good gut punch or gets him to like fake one way. So he gets him in the face, just rattles him. And they're kind of like, you know, for the rest of the season. For the rest of that boxing match, they're kind of, you know, nervous, right? They're playing like they have something to lose, which I mean they do, but like they know it. I don't think that's going to happen this year with the Cavs. I know it's only nine games into the season, but I watch this team. I look at all their stats. I see how they play. And I look at the adjustments that Kenny Atkinson's making. I don't see any reason to believe that they're going to get rattled again and just kind of falter. Because remember, last season, in like February to March, they were on like a, 15-game win streak, something like that, something crazy. I think they went like 17-1 during some span or whatever. And they were one of the top seeds in the East. And they didn't do much in the playoffs. They were one of the irrelevant playoff teams from last year. They made it. They won a game. I mean, they beat the Magic in seven. Then they just lost. They didn't do anything after that. I don't expect that to be the case this year. I could see Cleveland, what with Milwaukee's struggles, I could see Cleveland getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and playing the Boston Celtics. Speaking of Milwaukee, going into the season, this is a team that I picked to be one of the five best in the league. Five best, not just in the East, in the entire NBA. And, yeah, I should have tempered my expectations. I'm noticing that's kind of like my issue when it comes to just sports predictions about teams I like. I tend to get ahead of myself. Because right now the Bucks are 2-6. They're 2-6. And it's the obvious reason. Reasons that I should have seen going into the year. It's because Doc Rivers can't coach. And to help him out, he hired Darvin Ham. Even if you think that Lakers fans, just by nature of being the biggest market in the NBA and having this massive, mostly bandwagon fan base, even if you think that Lakers fans are way too hard on all their coaches and just, you know, have easy scapegoats every time, I think you have to admit Darvin Ham had no idea what he was doing with the Lakers. And the crazy part to me is Milwaukee. They saw him get fired. They saw Doc Rivers be the wrong coach last year, and they hired him midway through last season, which is also just weird, firing your head coach. It was a whole thing. And then they hired him right away. He did not have to wait that long to get a job. I doubt he had to do anything. I bet they called him. And the Bucks are 2-6 because of it. They finally snapped a six-game losing streak against Utah. I mean, Giannis is playing like Giannis does, if not better. 31 points per game, 6.3 assists, which for him is like unreal, and 12 rebounds at 63% field goal. Damian Lillard is finally getting this consistent start to his season because he didn't really have that last year. 27.6 points per game, 4.6 rebounds, 6.7 assists, 45% from the field as a guard. And they go on a six-game losing streak. I don't hate the other pieces they have around them. Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton, although I believe he's injured right now. Brooke Lopez is fine. They have guys. They have other guys. This is not a bad roster. It's clear that the issue is coaching, and then by that extension, the issue is front office. And while I do consider myself a guy who, you know, I enjoy when the Bucks are good. Giannis is just too likable. Dame is too likable. Bobby Portis is my goat. I love when the Bucks are good. But I can't help but say this is karma for how they treated Mike Budenholzer. Because if you remember a few seasons ago, they fired him because the Bucks lost that series against Miami, a series in which Giannis goes down. He didn't have his star. Oh, and his brother died during the series. So here was this guy coaching through family grief when he had every reason to just tap out and be with his family. No, he was committed to the team while still going through it. And then his stars get hurt, and Jimmy Butler plays like prime Michael Jordan, and they lose. There's nothing any coach could do. He's also the coach that won them their first ever second ever championship. First one in like 50 years, and they fired him. That's insane to me. And honestly, it's karma. And then they barely gave Adrian Griffin a chance, even though he was, what? He was 30 and 13 as a coach? Yeah, good luck, Milwaukee. Good luck, Bebe Chaperon, to end it off. Good weekend, everybody.
It's fine. It's cool. You can say that.